Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the heart of the Carolinas, a voice of reason, an oasis of civility and humanity.
I'm on a journey, the pursuit of truth, not just facts to fill the head, but also life-changing power to change hearts and transform minds. A journey of relationship, to connect to people of goodwill everywhere, to build upon civil society, to transcend tribal divisions with timeless values and love, a growing coalition of choice, not coercion. Are you with me?
This is the Vince Coakley Radio Program.
I do believe it is. Hey, it's only me, Jim Bohannon, and delighted to be here today to have a chance to communicate with everybody out there on the Vince Coakley program. And shall we just get it out of our system now, okay? We're all going to die. We're all going to die, okay? Now that that's done, that is true. We are all going to die. However, the overwhelming majority of us are going to die just about the same time we were going to anyway. And for those who are not, common sense and prudence, following a few simple rules, can minimize the number of people so affected. We're all in this together, so let us please hang in there and please be aware of the fact that this is not the end of the world. This is not the bubonic plague, which had about a 50% death rate in Europe. This is not even the Spanish flu of a century ago, which had a mortality rate of between 10 and 20%. No, it's much, much less than that. Little common sense, that's all it takes, a little common sense. Now then, we understand that we may be hearing from the president about 10:30. If that is the case, when it happens, we will definitely be carrying that. So, forewarned is forearmed. Allow me to illustrate my own shallowness, shall we? I got to tell you that I was shocked at NASCAR. No more races until the weekend of May the 9th. That doesn't mean I consider that the most important news that we've heard, but it grabbed me personally, just as I was very grabbed when March Madness got canceled. This is an interesting story in that so much of the information that we consume is information that we read about, we hear about, we follow on the media, commercial and social. But it doesn't directly impact us. That's most everything out there. ISIS, Iran. No, these are things we hear about, we read about, we see, but we don't feel directly affected. This one has now crossed the line, and it is directly affecting almost everybody out there. In fact, it would be hard for me to imagine who was not in some way directly affected by all of this. But for the record, call me shallow if you wish. And, of course, you may feel free to call in or go to the text line to do so. You wouldn't be the first. But that struck me after the initial races were put off. And they're told, by the way, that that they will be rescheduling these. These will not be canceled. These will be at some point rescheduled. I'm not sure exactly when. But for what it's worth, Charlotte, of course, is closing buildings to the public as more emergency paid leave is being given to workers. The city council has unanimously approved a resolution to allow adjustment of the city's leave policies and put an emergency leave program in place. North Carolina, the last I heard, 40 reported cases of coronavirus, 7 in Mecklenburg County, and in South Carolina, 19 was the last figure that I saw. So this is where we sit, and we make do. I know that in my own family, I've seen 3 events canceled in the last 24 hours, things that we were in some way or another planning to do. And so you cancel them, you move on, maybe they'll be rescheduled, maybe they won't. But again, a little common sense should cover all of us pretty well here. Also, by the way, the Charlotte City Council has voted to give $1 million toward housing assistance to official foundation for the Carolinas Fund for those impacted financially. Mecklenburg County is contributing money, and LendingTree of Charlotte is donating $1 million. Oh, and also the Charlotte City Council does not plan to meet again this month. In addition, lots of stuff is closing in upstate South Carolina. The Greenville Zoo is closed. Greenville City and County Recreational Departments, all youth and adult activities effective immediately. The Greenville Theater, the Foothills Philharmonic. You could pretty much say if it's a planned event and it involves a lot of people getting together, well, you figure you're not going to be going to that, all right? Again, just apply a little common sense here. Who knows? Are there plus sides to all of this? There is. I suppose if you were really bright, you might be in a position to perhaps make a killing if you could figure out a way to make hand sanitizer out of crude oil. I'm just saying, all right? It's 10:11 here on the Vince Coakley radio program. And Texter says, Jim, get a bit concerned that our dysfunctional government can't get the much-needed fiscal stimulus package done. The longer the fighting over the details, the worse the problem. Well, yes, politics move at roughly the speed of a charging glacier. You're quite correct. But sometimes, of course, there is devil in those details, so I wouldn't totally overlook that. Now, the texter says, Jimbo, the numbers will continue to go up as this virus was already here, but we didn't know what we were testing for, and it didn't have a name yet. But the death rate still may not equal the number of flu deaths. That is very true. We need to keep in mind two things, and that would be, number one, the death rate, and number two, the total number of deaths. For example, we haven't hit 100 deaths yet in this country, but the number of flu deaths, plain old garden variety flu, since the flu season began last autumn, is approaching 20,000 people. Okay? It's a matter of what you're used to. Flu deaths, well, happens every year. We're used to that. COVID-19 coronavirus deaths, oh, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. No, it's not. We're taking simple steps to try to see to it that the number is kept down to a minimum. But people talk about, in fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci at one point talked about the fact that so far, and these estimates vary from country to country, but it appears that the mortality rate for the COVID-19 is about 10 times that of the flu, the ordinary flu, which sounds pretty bad until you consider the actual numbers. The actual flu kills about 1 person out of every 1,000. The coronavirus, roughly, kills about 1 person out of every 100. That's 10 times more fatal per case. Yes, it also means that, on average, 99 out of 100 won't die. So again, this must be put in some perspective. And I think the most important thing that we can do here, really, is to not go down either extreme. The extreme on the one hand that it's no big deal. It's all a bunch of political hype. No, that's not true. It is a big deal and a potentially huge deal. The other extreme, of course, being we're all going to die, we're all going to die. No. Just approach it again as something that has to be done. In its ultimate form, for the individual out there, this is not that different, really, from household chores. You have to take out the garbage, okay? Well, now, wash your hands. And I've heard various rules on washing your hands, rules like hum to yourself Yankee Doodle or Happy Birthday. I like the Texas rule myself. The Texas rule is when you wash your hands, pretend that the following has occurred, that you have just chopped up some jalapeno peppers and you're about to take out your contact lenses. Okay. Jimbo in for Vince Coakley here this morning, and we have 10:15 right now, and let us pause briefly. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
All righty, the Vince Coakley radio program with Jimbo Hannon sitting in for this particular morning as we try to keep track of all that is happening out there. It's 10:20 this morning, and the word that I'm getting now, and this is not confirmed, but it appears that the president may be speaking a bit later this morning, not at 10:30, but we'll keep you up to date, and we will be listening to the president at such time as that happens. In the meantime, let's talk to Denise, who calls in from Columbia. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning. I want to start out by saying I voted for President Trump. And I think that this destruction of the economy, and it is so widespread now, it is at every level across every industry for the purpose, I understand, to reduce deaths. In 2018, we had 70,000 people die of the annual garden variety flu. Those were mostly people 80 and above. Those people could have self-quarantined this time. They're not in the economy anyway. They're not your middle managers, your senior managers, your salespeople, your factory workers. Their contribution to the economy is in the purchases that they make, not in the actual jobs that they do. So they could have self-quarantined away from everybody, and that would have helped with the death issue as well as the hospital surge issue, which is the other thing. Instead, what we've done is gone to the total extreme, in my opinion, of basically shutting down the economy across every sector for every type of job. This is, in my opinion, an overreaction that could have been handled in a completely different way. This Dr. Fauci guy, 10 times, I don't know that the death rate is 10 times in every other flu outbreak forever. We have overestimated the death rate, and when we gathered the infection statistics, we found that the death rate was considerably lower. We've had the Princess Cruise Line, where 99% of the people have recovered. So we already have a little lab rat experiment going on with the cruise ship people. So to me, this is, I don't know what is at work here. To have lost our collective minds, as we seem to have done, and to have taken, to me, totally the wrong strategy in terms of how to protect the elderly and the vulnerable, who are typically and only the people who get this from the annual flu or this flu. And by the way, a vaccine is only 25% effective because of the considerably compromised immune system of that same group of people.
Well, first of all, vaccine effectiveness varies considerably depending on the vaccine and depending on the people being inoculated. Secondly, of course, the effort here is to take something which is bad and to try and keep it from becoming horrendously bad. So the motivation certainly is wise. I would note merely that the steps that the Trump administration are taking, which seem to be roughly in the general direction of the serious closures, I would note, for example, that Newt Gingrich is living in Italy these days. His wife, Callista, is the ambassador to the Vatican, and he is in favor of... Well, as he put it, America must act now and act big. He is in favor of the closing of schools, the closing of churches, postponing weddings and funerals, the closings of restaurants and the like. And he believes, as he puts it, these steps are not an overreaction. So, again, I am certainly sorry for the disruption to the economy, but I don't know that we can just write it off as an overreaction at this stage of the game in view of the questions we have about that with which we are dealing. And there are big questions and not a lot of answers. Better safe than sorry, I think, does apply. As for economic dislocations, well, yeah, there are people who are suggesting all kinds of drastic action. Mitt Romney, I know, not a paragon of virtue in the minds of many, but he has suggested something that Andrew Wang, one of the former Democratic presidential candidates, suggested: every adult American be given $1,000 cash. Ben Stein, the economist and hardly a left-wing apologist, Ben Stein has suggested that we end all federal taxes for the rest of the year, all of them, withholding everything, which he readily admits would in fact cause serious increases to the national debt. And he says we have to choose between two different outcomes, neither one of which is particularly good. On the one hand, yes, the national debt gets horrendously larger even faster. On the other hand, we need to avoid sinking not into a recession, which is a distinct possibility now, but into a depression. And that is not out of the question. Again, erring on the side of caution doesn't strike me as a really bad idea. 10:25 now on the Vince Coakley radio program, and it now looks as though the president will probably be speaking in the general neighborhood of 11:30 this morning. So we will see. Let's see here. Texter says, Jim, I believe when this is over, with Trump is going to come out on top and have even more supporters than before. Well, we will see. We will see. In terms of him coming out on top, that in the context, let's say, of the election, this can have a major impact, without a doubt. There are two factors that are going to determine this election, which is still an extremely important component of all of this, because we are looking at this country going in two decidedly different directions depending on the outcome. The outcome of this election will be determined by the economy and by turnout. James Carville, the former campaign guru for Bill Clinton, was correct in his famous statement, "It's the economy, stupid." And that is to say that the economy is the issue, barring some major and, at this point, unforeseen foreign policy catastrophe. It's always the economy. We were putting right along pretty well, it looked like, and now not so much so. Wall Street today, by the way, is sort of hanging in there. It's been up a little, it's been down a little, can't seem to make up its mind. But in any event, the economy is going to be a deciding factor. Certainly, the incumbents always get too much credit for good economies and too much blame for bad economies. But if this goes in the tank, then Donald Trump will be receiving the blame, whether deservedly so or not. And turnout, I cannot overemphasize, turnout, turnout, turnout. Particularly as I speak right now to the Carolinas, South Carolina is going to go for President Trump. If, in fact, South Carolina is in play, then the Democrats have already won. North Carolina, very much getting swingy these days, more of a purple than a red state. Turnout matters a lot. Be sure that you are registered to vote, that your friends, that your family are registered to vote, Aunt Millie is registered to vote, and that people have a way to get to the polls if they don't vote early. All this sort of thing. All right? Anyway, it's something that we can get through this. We can get through this fine. Texter says, Newt is a man and has an opinion that doesn't make him correct. Just because he was in Congress in the past doesn't mean he's right. No, it doesn't, but it does mean that based on his previous judgments, I have come to see that in the main, I happen to support his judgments, and it's a judgment that I feel that I can back. And this notion that everything is hunky-dory and that we shouldn't be erring on the side of caution strikes me as a very dangerous activity. Another texter says, this will be known as Trump's Katrina. He responded too late. Watch Biden this fall flood the airwaves with his early sound bites regarding coronavirus. We'll see. We'll see. We will see if, in fact, this turns out to be Trump's Katrina. I don't think that there's any given that that is going to be the case at all. All right. In terms of this text, this is a manufactured event, psychological warfare. Well, the people who have died did not die of psychological warfare. We could make this a lot better if we just pulled together. Jimbo for Vince Coakley, and the time is 10:29.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
All right, welcome back. Jim Bohannon here on the Vince Coakley radio program. And by the way, for our Charlotte listeners, a reminder, the team at WBT, 107.9 The Link, and WFNZ have partnered to create Coronavirus 360, a 24/7 stream of the latest information about the coronavirus pandemic. Go to WBT.com and click on the Coronavirus 360 link. The audio will be updated daily and available to listen to anytime. That's WBT.com and click on the Coronavirus 360 link. Let's talk to Robert, who calls in from York this morning. Good morning, Robert.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I was wondering what your opinion is of maybe putting back the election since everything else is going, being put back. I mean, and I'll get off the air and hear your comments about this. I haven't heard anybody bring this up.
All right. Well, we'll talk about them. There are elections, plural, as you noted, and we have already had delays in the primaries in Georgia, in Louisiana, and now Ohio, which is not voting today. Arizona, Florida, and Illinois are the only states voting in the presidential primary today. As for the primary elections, these are state functions, and they can, by relatively simple procedures, be delayed. At the federal level, it would take the passage of a law, that is to say, agreement between the House and the Senate, and then a signature from the president to change the election. And that is extremely unlikely to happen, because almost any situation that amounted to a delay of the elections would mean that somebody would benefit. And if the Democrats would benefit, then the House would vote for it, but the Senate wouldn't. If the Republicans would benefit from it, then the Senate would vote for it, but the House wouldn't. So that's highly unlikely. As for when the next president takes office, that's not up for discussion. It's ironclad. It's in the 20th Amendment. 12 noon on January the 20th, a new president takes office. You cannot delay that, short of a constitutional amendment, which wouldn't happen and certainly couldn't happen between now and January 20th. Now, I'll tell you what happens. If, in fact, no president has been elected, and no vice president, we'll assume, if no president or vice president has been certified elected by noon, January 20th, you know who becomes president? The line of succession, the next person in the line of succession. And if we had had no elections, that means that we would have had no elections for Congress either. And so, the next president of the United States would be, are you ready for this? All play hail to the chief now. Dun, 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 dun. And here she is, President Nancy Pelosi.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Suck on that one for a while. President Nancy Pelosi said today. President Pelosi issued the following statement. That's what would happen. There is no, you could postpone the election, although it's highly unlikely that it would happen. It would require agreement of the House and the Senate and a signature from the president. You cannot delay the swearing in of the new president. And there's no circumstance under which we've had an emergency, and so the incumbent stays in office. Uh-uh. The term ends noon, January the 20th, period. End of constitutional discussion. And then you go right down the line of the Speaker of the House, the President pro tem of the Senate, the various cabinet members and the like. And you'd have to have the courts, I guess, rule on the cabinet members. Were they still in office technically? I suppose that they are, even though they're holdovers from a previous administration. You're getting into a lot of lawyer land here, though, as you can no doubtly tell here. 20 minutes is the time before 11 o'clock on the Vince Coakley radio program. I'm Jim Bohannon, and again, the word is now that the president is going to be speaking at approximately 11:30. We will carry that live for you right here. All right, other texters here. Let's see here. We have seen the power of government gone amok very recently in regard to an election. How are we to trust institutions that have been untrustworthy in our very recent past? It's like a wife that has been cheated on by her husband only being trustworthy in the future and will bring back for past indiscretions. Well, I'm not sure what that has to do with anything. Certainly that has nothing to do with just a case of trustworthy. There's never been a delayed transfer of power in this country. The presidency changes effect. It used to be March the 4th. Now it's January the 20th. But that's going to happen. And this notion that everything is somehow negotiable or up for grabs, no, it's not. We're some two-bit, third-rate, fourth-world type of banana republic. So it's not. It's not up for grabs, okay? Let's see here, Jim. We as Americans are so used to doing what we want, when we want. When we are told that we can't, we want to throw a tantrum. It's time for us to scour our very recent past, something like that here. We are used to doing what we want when we want. That's true, and that's particularly a flaw of the younger generation. However, if that's the feeling that some people have, it's time to get over it. It's time to grow up. It's time to accept the fact that you can't always do what you want or when you want it. And that's the circumstances that we find ourselves in right now, whether it be whatever is necessary for public health measures or whatever is necessary in terms of an election. Now then, I've seen some other texts here that as some of them are worded, let's try this one. Caution and outright panic are a bit different. I don't see the logic for shutting everything down. Well, that depends. First of all, I don't know that, quote, everything is being shut down. An awful lot of things are being shut down. But again, these are judgment calls. If we knew precisely with what we were dealing, and if we knew exactly the proper way to respond, then we wouldn't have so many gray areas here. We have circumstances in which erring on the side of caution definitely seems like the proper case. Now, how far is too far? We don't know. Could they go too far? Sure. Have they gone too far? You know, there's no way to know that until after the fact. There's just no way to know. Certainly, I would prefer that not everything, quote, be shut down, although not absolutely everything is, but the vast majority of things are being shut down in the vast majority of cases. All true. But again, responsible public service demands that we deal with a fuzzy area. That's what it is. Now, if you are too uncautious, too uncareful, then a lot of people could die. And the general view of those in government, and I happen to agree with this general view, is that better that we suffer some economic pain than that people die. And we are in a gray area here. There's just no way around the fact that we have to make some decision. Even no decision is a decision. Close or not close, shut down or not shut down, postpone or not postpone, we don't know. So, yes, we can quibble with these people, but of course, we can't tell if we're right or they're right, because it's unknown territory. And I'm just saying that it would seem to me that we ought to keep that in mind. Are these moves overblown? Possibly. Possibly. But again, we don't know. These are the things that you've got to keep in mind here, all right? I am quite willing to look at all of this as much as the rest of you are, and to nitpick and to offer opinions. But again, we don't know. Anybody who says that they do know is just blowing smoke. So, for what it's worth, Jim Bohannon sitting in for Vince Coakley. Later on, we'll hear from the president this morning, so stay tuned. More to come as we get through this together. Stay with us, folks. Stand by.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
It's now before 11 o'clock. President's likely to speak about 11:30. We'll have it for you right here on the Vince Coakley radio program. Jim Bohannon sitting in today. David calls in from Charlotte. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
I want to get to my question, but I got to tell you first, I've enjoyed hearing you for over 30 years when I used to drive a lot at night, and I would hear either you or Bruce Williams almost any time.
Well, yeah, that shows that we're both getting on in years, David. I'm still out there, as a matter of fact, but that's a whole different story. But thank you very much.
Hey, Bruce, what I wanted to mention to you was my wife and I watched most of the Democratic debate on, I guess it was Sunday night.
Right.
And among other things, Vice President Biden explained that when he was vice president, he and the president got a briefing from the Department of Defense that climate change was the number one threat to our nation's defense due to countries sinking into the sea and their citizens fleeing for higher ground. None of those moderators, it didn't occur to any of those moderators to say, Vice President Biden, who told you that? And B, what are these countries? And my wife and I just looked at each other like, did he just say that?
Yeah, unfortunately, the main thing that debate lacked was a laugh track. That would have added immeasurably to that debate. You must understand that among the moderators, it's an article of faith that what Biden said is a fact, so it never occurred to them to challenge what is so obviously true. That's just their approach that they had. I can only tell you that as long as you have general agreement among the moderators and the debaters, the candidates, you're not going to see a lot of challenging that the rest of us might prefer.
Well, that's true, and I just hope that lack of challenging is evident to more Americans, because if the president made such an outlandish statement about what somebody had said, I promise you he would be challenged relentlessly.
The president could make any statement on any subject and be challenged relentlessly. The president, President Trump could declare that the sun rises in the east, and Jim Acosta would challenge him.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your call, David. One other thing about the debate, as in fact other things are happening out there, the Sunday night debate, first of all, the absence of an audience aided immeasurably. That was one of the better debates you'll ever see. They actually debated. They didn't get into so much name-calling and shouting. There were no boos and cheers and the rest of the ignorance that, frankly, an audience does to that debate. This ought to be the beginning of more debates in which the participants take place. And like David in Charlotte, I would prefer that there be more challenging questions from the panels. But again, that's probably asking too much. The one thing that did not happen in that debate, by the way, that Bernie Sanders desperately needed to happen, and that is that Joe Biden did not self-destruct. He did not either fall apart in spluttering rage, nor did he forget where he was and produce a series of gaffes. There were a couple of gaffes, but of course our expectations for Joe Biden are so low now that a couple of gaffes is like, hey, give him an A+ for that, only a couple of gaffes. So, for what it's worth. Anyway, it is an election day today, of course, in Arizona, Florida, and Illinois. All three states expected to go for Biden, who looks more and more like he will probably be the opponent for Donald Trump come November. Anyway, as far as our good friend coronavirus is concerned. Other texters here. We have two petri dish countries in Italy and South Korea. There's our models. They don't get upset over 25,000 influenza deaths per year and go to any of the corona extremes. This just seems so out of context. Again, this is a trial balloon for something in the future. I have an opinion of what that might be, but I'll keep it to myself. So, in other words, the whole coronavirus situation is whipped up by somebody as part of a vast plan to do something. Well, it was pretty poorly executed if it was a vast plan, I must say that. Whoever is planning certainly did a rather poor job of executing this. As far as I'm concerned, it's a bad health issue, and it needs to be addressed the best that it possibly can be. And in terms of our reaction to the influenza, the texter makes a point in that we're used to the flu. We're used to the flu. Oh, sure. It kills 61,000 people a year in this country. Oh, okay. That's what it does. It's like the old story about the space aliens who landed in this country, and they brought with them a marvelous new technology, a tremendous thing that would liberate the people of this country, change our lives forever. And we were so eager as to what the space aliens had. And they said, there's just one little catch. By the way, we'll give you this marvelous new technology. We demand the blood sacrifice of 30,000 citizens of your country every year. We, of course, would, in outrage and indignation, send those aliens packing. And then along came the automobile, which kills 30,000 or so people a year in this country. But we're used to it. And that's a large part of the major difference here. We're not used to this. We have not had it before. We don't have any built-in immunity. Let's talk to Mark in Rock Hill. Hello, Mark.
Oh, a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you.
Yes, you are correct about the National Election Day that includes all federal offices since 1915, the following ratification of the 17th Amendment. But it really, it said it was 1845, that was the Tuesday next after the first Monday of the month of November, in which the year that to be appointed, and we're talking about the electors to vote to elect a new president, and they meet in December.
Correct.
34, yeah, in that. So it is slim to none. There are a number of laws, and we can go back to 1792, and that's when was the first Wednesday in December the electors meet in their state capital. So there's a number of laws that have to be changed, and there's two chances of that happening. Slim and none.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your thoughts very much, and thank you. So more calls to come. Jim Bohannon sitting in for Vince Coakley hereabouts, and I guess we're approaching a break, are we not there, Charles? That's what I thought. So we'll be back with more on the Coakley program in just a moment. It's now 4 minutes before 11.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.